will tape CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2016 Labor Day Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday evening, September the 3rd, 2016. Jeremy Gee is the speaker of this service, teaching on the fruit of pride.
Okay, Jerry, I'm going to turn it over to you now.
Bless the Lord. Praise you, Lord. Lord, we just come before your throne. We just thank you for your goodness to us, Lord. We praise you that you're the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe and everything in it. We praise you that you're our refuge, our strength, our fortress, our God in whom we take refuge. You're our shield, the horn of our salvation. And Lord, we will fear not in these days because, Lord, you said that you will keep us in perfect peace when our hearts and minds are stayed upon you. Lord, forgive us for not fixing our eyes upon you, but on everything else that we see that distresses us. Forgive us, Lord, for saying what we see instead of saying what you said. Lord, we ask you to cover this place with the blood of Jesus. We thank you that we've been raised to sit with you in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers. And we take our seat in the heavenly places and we bind you, Satan, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in heavenly places. We bind you from this camp, from Merrill and Barbara and Patty and Kevin and all the workers of this camp and every person that's here. In Jesus' name, we bind you in the heavenly places and on this earth. We forbid you to work with, communicate with, make contact with anyone on this earth or in the heavenly places to work divination against us, this camp, or our families in Jesus' name, or anything that concerns us in the name, power, blood, by the authority of Jesus. We bind and break every word of death, word of iniquity, curse, assignment, satanic ritual spoken over this camp, spoken over our finances, over our ministries, over Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, over Marilyn, Barbara, and Patty, and Kevin, and all the workers here, Lord. We thank you for all the workers here at this camp that lay down their life. We thank you for Linda and Sandy. Lord, we thank you for Dan and Crystal. Lord, we thank you for those little children. We thank you for Rick. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing here at this camp. Thank you for letting us be a part of it, Lord, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you for these girls. We thank you for every person that's here. We thank you for your mighty power that's being poured out here. We thank you for the anointing that breaks the yoke. Lord, we thank you that we're going to all go home changed and different in Jesus' name. We'll never be the same. And we thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for the anointing that breaks the yoke. I thank you that the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart will be acceptable to you, O God. Thank you that you're filling us with the knowledge of your will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Lord, that we will walk in a manner worthy of you, pleasing you in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of you, being strengthened with all of might according to your glorious might, for the attaining of steadfastness, patience, and Lord, joyously giving thanks to you. We give you praise for what you're doing. Thank you that you'll answer that prayer for sure. Amen? That's the prayer he'll always answer. Bless the Lord. Well, this message is entitled, The Fruit of Pride. Anybody have any of that? If you don't think you have any, you really have some. I've said this before, pride's like an iceberg. We're full of it, all of us. And we can repent of what we see and some more floats up. Right? You cut an iceberg off and more will come up. Is that right?
Yeah.
And that's what it is. And pride is the greatest sin. And the reason it's the greatest sin is because it's the character of Satan. Anytime we let Satan manifest through our life, it'll manifest as pride in some way. And where Jesus is humble, the scripture says that we can come unto him and cast all our care on him and take his yoke upon us and learn from him, for he's gentle and humble, and we find rest for our soul. And of course, we wear Satan's yoke. It brings unrest. And it brings pride because it's His character and nature.
Yes.
You know, the Bible says, the leaf withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Jesus is the word of God according to John 1:1. In the beginning was the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Father. And when we read the word of God out loud, we're creating the presence of Jesus.
Amen.
So if it bothers you, because I'm going to read a lot of scriptures today, He sent His word to heal you. There's no place in the word that He said He sent folks to heal you. He said He sent His word to heal you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for His word. And I look forward to the day that I can read His word again. I haven't been able to read paper notes in a long time, probably the last year. But praise God, I can still read it on the computer. My phone I'll cut and paste it, and then my phone reads it to me, or my iPad will read it to me. I thank God for that. But that's really not the same. You know, I really want to be able to read the word again. But praise the Lord. You know, there may be a time when we don't even have the word, so you need to take advantage of being able to read the word, because someday you might not be able to read it, or you might be someplace where you don't have a Bible and you might need to encourage somebody. So we need to store God's word in our hearts. The scripture says, "Thy word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." Amen. And so when I am alive to my flesh, I'm manifesting the character and nature of Satan, which is Galatians 5:19, which gives you the deeds of the flesh, and I can't name all of those. But when we deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Jesus, then the fruit of the Holy Spirit is manifested in our life, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So God, anything that we do as Christians or as people that is not a manifestation of the character and nature of Satan, God disregards it. It's only what we do with His Spirit ruling us, with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. That's His character, His nature. You know, if you've been like me, you thought, I'm going to be love, I'm going to be kind, I'm going to be this, I'm going to be that. And I can't be, because that's not my character and nature. But the character and nature of Jesus is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. And so when I'm under God's refuge, I'm not under the law that is arousing in me sinful passions, but I'm under God's refuge where there is no law. And, but there is a law when I'm outside of God's umbrella, which is Psalms 91. And so this message is on the fruit of pride. And fruit is, if I plant corn, a corn seed in my garden, then corn's going to come up. Is that right? Because what I plant's going to come up. And so pride has fruit on its limbs. And so the root would be pride, but it has many manifestations of fruit, the fruit of pride. The dictionary definition of pride, and this is kind of a word study, so I want you to be able to be repenting as you hear me read these things. When I first did this message, probably I did it in 2008 and probably 2002 or 1, and every definition of pride, I just about had every one of them. So I've made a little bit of progress. I don't have as many of them as I used to be, because we are all a work in progress. So don't get discouraged. Don't lose heart. God hasn't forgotten you. You know, deliverance is like peeling an onion. The problem is the next layer of the onion. Lord, what are you trying to teach me through this? Repent, line yourself with the Word of God, and then you get delivered. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. And so as I name these definitions of pride, I want you to be repenting, okay? Pride is inordinate self-esteem, an unreasonable conceit of one's own superiority, talents, beauty, wealth, accomplishments, rank, elevation in office, which manifests itself in lofty airs, distance, where you keep your distance from people, reserve, you know, put walls around your heart, reserve, and often in contempt of others, Insolence, which is rude treatment of others. And, you know, you can think, well, I'm not that kind of person, but sometimes in a restaurant, oh, my goodness, when you get the slow, dumbest waiter. Have you ever been rude? I have, and that's where this has hit me. Rude treatment of others, just impatience, really. The Bible says it's better to be patient than haughty. So if you've got impatience in your life, you're haughty. And God says he sees the haughty from afar, and the haughty eyes he will abase. Some of the roots to eye problems. Generous elation of heart. A noble self-esteem springing from consciousness of one's own worth, loftiness, decoration, ornament, beauty displayed, splendid show, ostentatious, which means making a display from vanity, boastful, fond of presenting one's own endowments or works to others in an advantageous light, to be showy, gaudy, intended for vain display, proud persons, arrogant, the act or quality of taking too much upon oneself. I hope you're repenting of these things when they apply to you. In fact, you can repent all of them, because if you didn't do it, your forefathers did. In fact, I was mentioned to Carla, most of us, we're all the product of the sins of our forefathers. I mean, you see dysfunctional families where there's trauma and there's alcoholism and there's drug addiction and there's abuse. You know, there was a mess back there. Because your parents were just products of their parents, and they were products of their parents. And so I think sometimes we underestimate dealing with the generational iniquities of the forefathers, because we're born with tons of demons. Our garden is full of mess when we're born. Pride means to be a proud person. Arrogant, the quality of taking too much upon oneself. The species of pride which consists in exorbitant claims of rank, dignity, estimation, or power, which exalts the importance of a person to undue degree. It means proud contempt of others. It means conceitedness. It means to be presumptuous, to be bold and confident to excess. I tell you, I think I had boldness and confidence to excess. And I thank God has whipped a lot of that fleshly boldness out of me. Praise God. You know what? If it took all of this to make me humble, I know the purpose of it is to humble me.
Praise God.
Amen? You know, the Apostle Paul, he didn't know he was blind until God blinded him, right? And that opened his eyes to what he was really like. Not that I class myself in his category, but that scripture spoke to me. Pride means supposition of the truth, or real, or the real existence of something without direct or positive proof of the facts, but grounded on circumstantial and or probable evidence which entitles it to belief. In other words, saying something's true when you don't have the evidence to prove it. I've been good at that. Bold and strong confidence, unreasonable or adventurousness. And, you know, God, the Bible says the godly are as bold as lions. And I always use that to justify the fleshly boldness I have. You know, I think, you know, the godly are as bold as lions. And I realized a lot of my boldness was just flesh. We're supposed to be bold as unto the Lord as he directs us, not just because we have confidence in divine favor, which is another definition of pride. And I always had excessive confidence in divine favor, because I always had the favor of my parents. So I thought God was always pleased about everything about me. And then I got a sinus infection after my son died that lasted probably over a year. And because I'd never been sick, I thought, well, Lord, you're not pleased about something. And the Lord said it was pride in my mouth. Well, I understood about my mouth, but I didn't understand about the pride thing, because I wasn't proud of my house or my car. It was nothing like that. So I didn't understand. So I pulled up all the scriptures on pride, arrogance, boastfulness, haughtiness, mouth, tongue, lips, And I had a 2-inch high stack of computer sheets this high. It took me 3 days to go through those. And after the second day, I said, it's the first day. I saw so much pride in my life. I said, God, you must be so sick of me. Because before that, I'd read the Bible and I'd think, you know, my daddy needs to read this one. My husband needs to read this. This fits my sister just like my sister. But that day, it was like, woe is me. I said, God, you must be so sick of me. And I repented for 3 days. It took me 3 days to repent over all those scriptures. And Carla told y'all how to repent. If it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, Lord, I haven't trusted you in my whole heart. Would you please forgive me? Or if it says, walk in the Spirit, walk in love, Lord, forgive me, I haven't walked in love. So that's how you repent over the Word of God. You read it, as you read the Word of God, if you'll take each scripture that tells you what to do or not to do and repent over it if you did it or you didn't do it and ask God to forgive you, and He'll show you. And that's the greatest deliverance. That's how the deliverances I've gotten over the years. That's why I hadn't been to the doctor in 24 years until I went for cataract surgery. And I did that because I've almost had 5 major, 3 head-on collisions and 2 wrecks that would have killed me instantly. 5 wrecks in the last 2 months. So I was going to have to quit driving completely or get cataracts off. And anyway, but the Bible said He sent His word to heal me. And after 3 days of repenting, the sinus infection was gone, except my nose was a little stopped up. And so then I looked up scriptures on nose, and I began to repent over nose scripture. And when I got to the one on Leviathan, it said, you know, it says He's king over all the sons of pride. When I got to the one on Leviathan, I said, oh, Lord, it said, can you put a rope in his nose? I went, oh, dear God, I feel like I've got a rope in my nose. And I had a vision that the Lord was trying to control my mouth, and He was holding me down. And I said, oh, God, I feel like I got a rope in my nose. Forgive me. And my nose opened, and God healed sinus infection. And that's how I've been healed of everything I've been healed over. And I've been doing scriptures on eye scriptures and repenting over eye scriptures for years and years and years. I'd probably really be blind if I hadn't been doing this. But because my family have cataracts, macular degeneration, glaucoma, astigmatism, farsightedness, nearsightedness. So I started doing this back in 1987, started repenting over eye scriptures because I thought I'm going to prevent myself from having eye problems. But anyway, God's using it to whip a lot of pride out of me. And it's not all gone, but it's on its way out. In Jesus' name, I'm going to be a humble person. Praise the Lord. But anyway, the fear of God has come on me. You know, if your parents are always pleased with you, or they always give you the impression they're pleased with you, you think God's pleased with you. If your parents are never pleased with you, you think God's not pleased with you. So it's because parents model for us a picture of what God's like. So pride also means blind and headstrong confidence, unreasonable adventurousness, adventuring to undertake something without reasonable prospect of success, unreasonable confidence in divine favor. I already said that. Rash confidence, willfully done, rash design, haughty, proud and disdainful, having a high opinion of oneself, contempt of others, lofty, I hope y'all are repenting, lofty and arrogant, supercilious, this didn't fit me. That means dictatorial. Dictatorial, lofty with pride. That one fit me perfect. I'm not that way anymore, believe me. David will tell you, I'm not. I'm a David. I don't think he knew me when, maybe he knew me when I was like that. overbearing, that didn't fit me. In fact, I don't know how y'all stood me, some of y'all. I started sharing yesterday morning. I said, when I first, and I don't think I finished it. When I first got saved, I thought I did God a favor. And the more I walk with God, the more I think, what in the world He ever saved me? I feel more like a sinner than I've ever felt in my whole 54 years as being a Christian. Thank God He shows us ourselves. God says if you love discipline, you love your own soul. Why is it if you love discipline? Because discipline changes you. It lines you with the Word of God. And every time you line your life with the Word of God, if you repent over the Word, every time you repent, demons will leave. The minute you repent, the demons are leaving.
Thank you, Lord.
Because they're there because of sin. And I appreciate what Randy said. There's no deliverance without repentance. Period.
Yeah.
And so, have you ever seen a bunch of buzzards collect around a dead carcass? You could run and shoo them off, and the minute you get out of their sight, they've congregated back on the dead carcass. And that's the way a lot of deliverance ministers are working. They're not dealing with sin. You got to bury that carcass through repentance. Pride means manifesting pride with disdain as a haughty or arrogant walk. Basically, anytime I fail to deny myself and take up my cross, because that's only when the manifested presence of Jesus is going to come forth in my life, when I die to myself. And so God says He sees the haughty from afar, and that's those who lift themselves up in pride. You know, sometimes we want God to make us humble, but He tells us to humble ourselves. It's a choice. I have to humble myself. And if I don't humble myself, then guess what? He will humble me and it won't be fun. Proverbs 20, verse 21 says, proud, haughty, scoffer are all those who act with insolent pride. Pride is the very nature and character of Satan. Isaiah 14, verse 13, now speaking of Satan, he said, but he said in his heart, I will ascend to heaven, I will raise my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit on the mount of the assembly, and I will be like the Most High God.
Yeah.
All that I. And so Satan's king over every area that I'm refused to die to my flesh. Job 41:15 says, his strong scales are pride, shut up as with a tight seal. He looks on everything that's high, and he's king over all the sons of pride. And that's why pride is such a terrible sin. Those who exalt themselves hate the Lord, it says in Psalms 83. For behold, thine enemies make an uproar. So if you're hearing the dogs barking in the congregation and you hear things making an uproar in the congregation, it's not God. Okay, it says, for thine enemies make an uproar, and those who hate the Lord have exalted themselves. Now that's kind of a sobering thought. And so here's some obvious ways that pride manifests itself. In pretending. You ever pretended everything was okay when it wasn't?
Yeah.
Fantasize. Denial. Sweeping things under the rug. Denying there's really a problem when it really is. You know, that's a coping mechanism for a lot of people that are in pain or they grew up in trauma. They just kind of check out emotionally, deny it really happened, and so they get in denial. And you can't get delivered till you are willing to face the truth. There's people that don't want to face their pain, and you'll never get healed till you're willing to face the pain. If you sweep things under the rug, that's where it stays. Or if you blame shift. You know, blame shifters just sweep things under the rug and put the guilt on someone else, and they never change. They never work out their salvation with fear and trembling. If pride manifests itself in lying, covering up for others, controlling others, thinking you have to be in control through a religious spirit. The church is full of 99% of church members just have a religious spirit. They take care of the outward, but they don't take care of the heart issues. I think Leonard Ravenhill says, only 2% of church members are actually saved, and Billy Graham says only 5% of those that come to his that come forward at his meetings are saved. And Howard Pittman says only 10% of church members are saved. Most church members just go, they don't deal with their sin. And as I said before, if you're in a church that's not teaching you to deal with your sin, you're not in God's church. You've got to deal with sin. And I, you know, when I saw these girls up here, I didn't know who the leader was, but I was so impressed with all of them being interested in the Lord. When I had a farm full of people that were crackheads and prostitutes and Satanists and all this, they weren't that excited about the Lord. They was like, oh, they get over here and let's pray. So I was impressed before I met Lenora. But I know that she's taught you to repent for you to be where you are. Praise God for this ministry. I've wanted to know for a long time. I've had people call me all the time, do you know of a ministry for girls? And I've had to say, there's not any that I could even recommend. But now I can. Amen. Bless the Lord. Pride manifests in just concentrating on your outward appearance, refusing to take accountability for your sin, putting other people down, nitpicking others, just sitting around just trying to pick people apart. Well, I see this, what's wrong, that's what's wrong. Please don't do me that way. You'll find a lot of things that are wrong. Nitpicking others, criticizing, judgmentalness. Can I tell you that floaters in the eyes is from judging people? Years ago at the seminar, I had a girl say, I got something in my eye. I said, have you ever judged your mother and father? Have you ever judged anybody? She said, my mother-in-law. I said, who does your mother-in-law remind you of? She said, my mother. And so I led her to repent of judging her mother. She went, it's gone. And the Lord taught me that floaters. And then a few years ago, I was teaching at Lake Hamilton. And just as I was teaching, a floater went across my eye. And the Lord said, take the log out of your eye, then you can see clearly how to get the speck out of someone else's. And I said, Lord, who is that? And the Lord told me who it was, and I repented, broke soul ties, and I took it out of my eye. I thought, well, you know, if Jesus said take it out of your eye, that means you don't have to keep it, that floater in your eye, if he said take it out, right? And so one day, coming to Lake Hamilton, I took floaters out of my eyes from Lindale, Texas. 5 hours, I repented of floaters in my eyes. And now if I get a floater, I'll say, okay, Lord, who is that? Nitpicking others, performance orientation, being a performer, perfectionism. That's tremendous pride. You know, perfectionists have a hard time saying they're sorry, because if they said they're sorry, that means they're not perfect. Complaining, ingratitude, refusing to make it right, refusing to admit you're wrong. I know people that I've known for years and years, and I bet I haven't heard them 3 times saying they're sorry. I used to say I was sorry so many times, one guy said, Jerry, why are you always saying you're sorry? My son Kyle's that way too, and he's always saying, he'll always say he's sorry. Sometimes he'll just share his heart with me, and then he'll feel guilty, and he'll call me and say, Mom, I'm sorry. I say, Kyle, I'm glad, no problem. I want you to share your heart. Anyway, I don't say it as much anymore, but I do say it when I need to say it. It's not a compulsive say I'm sorry. It's saying I'm sorry when I really am sorry. Not that I wasn't sorry before, but that was it. I was sorry. You know, if you're the firstborn child, my daddy always would blame me for it. My sisters, they could rob a bank, and he would have never said nothing. My sister shacked up for about 2 years, and he never corrected her. But if I had red fingernail polish on me, he told me I looked like a Jezebel. And one day I said, Dad, he said, Jerry, I'm sorry, I'm always after you. I said, Dad, you know, it just means you love me the most. He said, well, I'm glad you see it that way. Anyway, and see, that's really true, because God says if you have confidence, let's see, it says, if your conscience is clear, you have confidence before God. And that means faith and trust in God, but it also means freedom of speech. He had freedom of speech with me because he had a clear conscience with me, and that's why I could say that. Because he had the liberty. But my sisters might not forgive him for 2 months, and I was always telling him I'm sorry even when he did it. And so another way pride manifests is refusing to make it right with somebody, refusing to admit you're wrong, refusing to say I'm sorry. Some jobs are beneath you. Rebellion. Having to be in charge or in control, ashamed of your position in life, shame, think you should be doing better. And, of course, God wants us to do better in Him. I'm talking about a fleshly, just being condemned, thinking that you're never good enough kind of thing. Being a show-off, wanting to be noticed, not wanting to be noticed. You know, my daddy gave me, in 1978, my daddy gave me a brand new Cadillac Eldorado, and it was so beautiful. It had gold wheels, and it was white. It was just the most wonderful car. I enjoyed it for myself. But I was going to Dave Wilkerson's church in Lindale, Texas, and I would park a mile down the road because I didn't want anybody to see my car because they'd reject me. You see what I'm saying? So that was just as prideful as if I drove right up in front of the church and wanted to show off. So if you're timid, that comes out of pride. Or if you have a fear of man, all of it's pride. So if you want to be noticed or you don't want to be noticed. And I didn't want to be noticed. I just enjoyed the car for myself. I mean, I just thought it was wonderful. And it was. Saying I don't care when I really do care. Saying nothing's wrong when something really is wrong. If someone ever said this, what's wrong with you? Oh, nothing. You sure you're stroking and funny? No. No! Nothing's wrong. Saying I don't care when I do care, making vows, I'll never forgive you. When I get out of this house, life's going to be different. How many of you have done that? Grow up in trauma, grow up in dysfunctional family, and when you make a vow, a promise, when I get out of here, life's going to be different. But guess what? The law of sowing and reaping, because I judge my parents, I keep on reaping the same thing I judge them for till I take that to the cross. So wherever life doesn't go well, trace that back to dishonoring your mother and father. Having to be seeing the best car, the best clothes, vanity, think your way is better, competition, you don't go with the flow, try to change everything to do it your way, think you know better than your parents and other people, not doing what you're told because it's not important to you, doing what seems best to you, not being considerate of others, think you're too good, other people are beneath you, not giving credit where credit's due, being jealous or envious or covetous, having a hard heart. You know, if you ever say, I don't need anybody, my dad used to say, and hardness of hearts come down the generations on me from on my bloodline, until just recently it's been hard for me to even cry. And I never saw my, only saw my mother cry one time. My daddy was fussing at me, so she started crying. My dad would say, they need me more than I need them. You see, you build walls around your heart. That can also be one of the causes of constipation. Refusing to listen because you're a know-it-all. You always have an answer. My husband told me once I needed to be on the Watergate hearings. This was kind of dated me way back there. Refuse to receive prayer for deliverance because you can't let other people know that you have a problem. And I tell you, to this day, I've never met a human being that didn't have demons. There's people that don't think they could even have them. Let me tell you something. That says there's a strong spirit of Leviathan that resists deliverance. Because only Jesus was sinless. And because we've been full of sin, everywhere we violate the Word of God or violated the Word of God, we have a demon problem. I used to hear people say, well, you have to violate the Word of God a whole bunch of times before you have a demon. No, step out from inside God's refuge and you're right out there where the arrows are flying. And by the way, there's a difference between a fiery dart and something that's down in your heart. If you can't get rid of a thought or something's coming out of your mouth, you know it's in your heart. But God says we're to take our thoughts captive and we're to resist the devil and he'll flee. And so that's not the same thing as being a heart issue. It would just be a flying dart. But if it's stuck down here and it's producing the fruit of the flesh, you know it's demonic. And wherever you violate the word of God, you're under a curse. Deuteronomy 28 gives you sickness is a curse, blindness is a curse, skin problems are a curse, sickness is a curse. And demons, everywhere you have a curse, you've got a demon or demons, because demons carry out the curse, just like holy angels carry out the blessings. So anytime you violate the word of God, you're under a curse until you confess your sin. Can't let others know how you feel, because if they really knew, or can't let people know who you really are, because if they knew who you really are, they wouldn't like you. Pride. Having to do it yourself. Have you ever said, never mind, I'll do it myself? That's pride. Because you don't think everybody else can do it as good as you. You want others to think you're perfect and you're already healed. You refuse vulnerability, refuse to be transparent, refuse certain friendships. I can't believe so-and-so did this. I can't believe they did that. I appreciated what Randy said, you know, it's by God's grace that you're not there. And I'm telling you, I used to have that, I can't believe so-and-so did this or that. Now I'm thinking, I can't believe I'm doing it. Never mind, I'll do it myself. I don't need anybody. I do it better. I'll show you. Trust in yourself. Hope you all are repenting, rationalizing, justifying, turning to yourself for protection, self-exaltation, protecting yourself, defending yourself, overly loud or overly quiet. You know, if you grow up with parents that are too loud, you're probably a quiet person because you judge them. Or if you are too quiet, maybe it's just the opposite. Maybe the kid might be more loud. Talking too much about yourself, excessive talking. Are you a person that just constantly runs off at the mouth? We all know people, and maybe you're one of those, that talk so much you hem people in a corner and they can't get a word in edgewise. God help us. I remember a time that the Bible says where there's many words, transgression is unavoidable. And I remember a time in my earlier years that if I went out to lunch with somebody, I talked so much that I came home feeling condemned. God has delivered me from so much. You know, I was addicted to diet pills for 17 years. Because I was a little fat girl and still kind of pudgy. I break that curse I just spoke over myself.
Right.
My mother took me to a diet pill doctor and said, you're going to this diet pill doctor and you're losing weight. She turned me over to unlawful authority. Mm-hmm. And for 17 years, I was addicted to diet pills. And then caffeine, even though I didn't drink a pot of coffee every day, I might drink one cup of coffee in the morning and maybe a glass of tea at lunch. But I haven't had caffeine in 2.5 years. And I have more energy than I had when I took caffeine, except I think the eye drops they're putting in my eyes make me a little tired. I've been so tired since I've been here. I've slept every second I could and still been tired. Anybody tired besides me? Amen. So Lord, refresh us. Times of refreshment come in the presence of the Lord. And I break the curse, the eye drops made me tired.
Right.
Being argumentative, boasting, want to be honored, feeling secure with feeling insecure with what you know, so you're trying to change it up to prove that you're right or wrong. Have to prove that you're right, accuse others, you have to fight to stay on top. Have to be the top dog, and y'all probably can name some other things of pride. The Bible says the humble get grace.
Amen.
There's a throne of grace I can go to. The throne of grace is God's throne. I have to humble myself to go to God's throne of grace. And at His throne of grace, I get strengthened, confirmed, established, and perfected. If I come short of the grace of God, I receive a root of bitterness. Every place that I come short of the grace of God, I receive a root of bitterness. And so to go to the throne of grace, I have to have a good image of God, because if I had a poor image of God, then I don't want to go to the throne of grace, because I believe a lie that God's like my mother or dad. And so I'll faint and give up and quit and bail out and receive a root of bitterness. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace that we might receive grace and help in time of need. James 4, 6 says, but He gives greater grace, for God says, God is opposed to the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. 1 Peter 5:6 says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he might exalt you in the proper time. And it's an irreversible, immutable, and unchangeable God that in every area we walk in pride, we have no grace. He's able to humble the proud. Proverbs 29, verse 23, it says, a man's pride will bring him low, but a humble spirit will obtain honor. Daniel 4, you know the story of Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel had a dream. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. Daniel interpreted it and told him that the dream was for him. And a year later, he was on his balcony boasting about how he had built Babylon into a great place. And then God took his kingdom from him, took him out into the wilderness. He was covered with dew. His hair grew like bird feathers and his nails like bird claws. And after that time in the wilderness, this is what he said in Daniel 4, verse 37. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, exalt, and honor the King of heaven, for all his works are true and all his ways are just, and he's able to humble all those who walk in pride. Isaiah 2, verse 17 says, and the pride of man will be humbled, and the loftiness of man will be abased, and the Lord Lord alone will be exalted in that day. Job 40, I look on everyone who's proud and humble him and tread down the wicked where they stand. Matthew 23 says, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Isaiah 2, 11 through 12 says, the proud look of a man will be abased, and the loftiness of man will be humbled, and the Lord alone will be exalted in that day. For the Lord of hosts will have a day of reckoning against everyone who's proud and lofty, and against everyone who has lifted up that he might be abased. And abased means to be brought low. And so every area of pride that I walk in pride, there's no grace. In any area I'm trusting myself or something else, there's no grace. An example of this would be to be a performance-oriented person, perfectionism, to trust myself, or trust in substances, there's no grace. Pride manifests in unbelief. Unbelief and pride go together. Habakkuk 2, verse 4 says, behold, for this proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by faith. Pride manifests itself in lying lips. Psalms 31, verse 18 says, let the lying lips be dumb that speak arrogantly against the righteous with pride and contempt. Pride manifests itself in foot and leg problems. About a couple of years ago, I'd get up out of my chair and I'd walk like Chester on Gunsmoke, if you ever watched that. I'd walk like this. And I thought, well, it's just because you're getting to be kind of old. Yep. And so I didn't pay attention to it. So about 2 weeks later, I got to where I couldn't, for 2 weeks, I couldn't hardly walk. And I was going to teach a seminar on Saturday. And so I spent all day Friday repenting over pride, walk, path, lame, crooked, crippled, path, walking in the flesh. I repented all day long, and I was totally healed at the end of the day. Wow. And so God shows me, has shown me over the years, that he sent his word to heal me. And so if you have problems walking, you need to look up scriptures on walk, path, legs, pride, walking in pride. And we all do. And as Randy said, if we don't deal with our demons when we're young, they take their toll on us when we're old, and sometimes before we're old. Pride manifests in foot and leg problems. Psalms 36, verse 11 says, let not the foot of pride come upon me, and let not the wicked drive me away. So if you got something wrong with your foot, Scripture says, turn your foot from evil. So look up your body part. If you can't find the body part in the Word of God, look up the symptoms, whatever symptoms you're going through. You know, if you're depressed, look up the word. I think in Psalms 107 it says that you became high and then you became low, and it sounds like depression. But look up the word or whatever symptom that you're having. Pride manifests itself in mouth problems. Psalms 59 verse 12 says, on account of the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them even be caught in their pride on account of the curses and lies which they utter. Psalms 101 verse 5 says, whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him will I destroy. No one who has a haughty look and an arrogant heart will I endure. Psalms 75 verse 5, do not lift up your horn, which is your mouth. Do not speak with insolent pride. Lord, forgive us for doing that. Pride manifests itself in neck problems. You know, it says in Proverbs 1:8-9, hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, it's a graceful wreath about your head and ornaments about your neck. And so when we listen to our father, and some of you couldn't listen to your father because they were too perverted, so you need to forgive them for that, but you can honor the position. But it says in Proverbs 1, if we listen to our father's instruction, so if you didn't have a father, repent of the way you treated your earthly father, and then repent of not listening to God the Father. It says God will put a necklace around your neck. It'll be an ornament around your neck and a wreath about your head. And then in Ezekiel says, if you're prideful, you're exchanging God's ornaments for ornaments of pride. You're exchanging God's beautiful necklace for a necklace of pride. It says in Ezekiel 7:20, and they transformed the beauty of his ornaments into pride, and they made the images of their abominations and their detestable things with it. Therefore, I will make it an abhorrent thing to them. So we want God's necklace. His ornaments. Not only does pride manifest in neck problems, but also in eye problems. Psalms 73, verse 6, it says, therefore, pride is their necklace. The garment of violence covers them, and that's the garment of a harlot, a spiritual harlot, or a physical harlot. The imaginations of their heart run riot, and their eyes bulge with fatness. It means their eyes swell out, which, you know, glaucoma is pressure in the eyes. 1 John 2:16 says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but it's from the world. In Numbers 12:3, it says, now Moses, the man Moses, was very humble, more than any man who lived on the face of the earth. The scripture goes on to say, his eye was not dim, nor was his strength abated. He had strength even in his later years. And so did Caleb. And I don't know the scripture, but does anybody know the scripture about Caleb and how old he was and that he was in his full strength? Does anyone know that scripture? Anyway, I didn't have a reference, didn't intend to use it. Okay, Proverbs 21 verse 4 says, haughty eyes and a proud heart, the lamp of the wicked is sin. Isaiah 5, verse 15. So the common man will be humbled, and the man of importance abased. The eyes of the proud will be abased, brought low. Psalms 18, verse 27. For thou dost save an afflicted people, but haughty eyes thou dost abase. Pride also manifests itself in stumbling. Proverbs 16 verse 18 says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before stumbling. Jeremiah 50 verse 3 says, and the arrogant will stumble and fall, and there will be no one to raise him up. And I shall set fire to his cities and all his and will devour his environs. And of course, Jesus, when he was talking to the disciples, he called them a city on a hill. He said, he's the light of the world, but he said to the disciples, you're the light of the world, let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify my Father who's in heaven. For a city on a hill cannot be hidden. So God says he'll just devour their cities. I had a guy call me. I have a kennel where I
it's kind of like a tent making job. It helps me pay bills. And I had have a kennel, and a guy called me from Austin wanting counsel. And I was trying to counsel him, trying to talk to him. He kept arguing with me, and he wouldn't listen to what I said. And I said, if you know so much, why did you call me? And I hung up on him. I didn't realize I was in pride. I walked out the door to my kennel, and my property's got lots of tree roots and flint rocks and all kinds of things to stumble over. I got close to the kennel, and I stumbled and tripped and fell flat on my body, and I was blue from the waist up. My dogs were very peaceful until I fell, and because it was demonic, they started tearing into each other. I had four dogs that were loose that were just peacefully enjoying one another. But the minute I went through that, they started tearing each other up. See, I was in a peaceful atmosphere, but my pride caused me to fall, and I didn't realize it. Another time I was moving a male dog from the front of my house to a back kennel. And he was just about dragging me. They're chow dogs, and he weighed about 60 or 70 pounds, and he was about dragging me. And I was so mad at him, I opened his kennel, I said, get in there! And I was mad and didn't know it, so I go back and get another dog, and this dog was being so nice. I mean, he was cooperating, being so nice, but just as I got close to another kennel with a male dog in it, he lunged toward that kennel and threw me head first right into that kennel. And see, anger, walking in anger, I didn't realize I was angry, but walking in anger is walking in pride. And so now when I walk out there, I say, Lord, thank you that your angels bear me up, lest I dash my foot against a stone. And I say, Lord, I'm walking in humility. Because there's too many things to fall over. And so many times I almost fall and I say, oh God, thank you that your angels bore me up lest I dash my foot against a stone. So pride goes before a fall and a haughty spirit before destruction. Pride manifests itself in scoffing, making fun of people. Proverbs 21 verse 24 says, proud, haughty scoffer are his names who walk in insolent pride. Pride leads to apostasy, which means to fall away from the faith, and also spiritual drunkenness that you see in churches, spiritual drunkenness. And that's not scriptural. I mean, the scripture that people use to validate, which it doesn't, the drunkenness movement is, they use the scripture where the disciples were drunk. And Peter stood up in that in Acts 2, I said, and he said, these men are not drunk. And so that's the scripture they use. And I've written a little book back there called Drunkenness, Is It a Blessing or a Curse? And in all the scriptures on drunkenness, sober, alert, is in that book to show you there's not one scripture that says drunkenness is of the Lord. In fact, it's of the unholy spirit. Pride leads to apostasy, a falling away from the faith. Isaiah 16, verse 6 says, we've heard of the pride of Moab, which means apostasy. Excessive pride, even of arrogance, pride, and fury. His idle boasts are false. Jeremiah 48, verse 26, it says, make him drunk, for he's become arrogant against the Lord. Moab will wallow in his vomit and also will become a laughing stock. Also, vanity is a manifestation of pride. And in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 12, it says that he talks about people who take pride in appearance rather than heart. And wandering from his commandments, it says in Psalms 119, verse 21, thou hast rebuked the arrogant, the cursed, who wander from his commandments. And of course, as I said, wherever you're under a curse, you've got a demon problem, at least one demon. And if you want to know what the curses are, some of them, just go to Deuteronomy 28 and read them. And he'll say in verse 15, says, because of disobedience to the voice of God and his commandments, curses. And Carla, that was a great message about the sins that lead to death. You're under a curse in all of those things. And if you haven't done those things, most of our, listen, we're a lot of us are a mess because of our forefathers. Prideful people fought against the righteous, it says. In Psalms 119, verse 22, be surety for thy servant for good. Do not let the arrogant oppress me. Pride manifests itself in strife and contention. The Bible says wherever there's strife and contention, there's every demonic work. Proverbs 28, verse 25, an arrogant man stirs strife, but he who trusts in the Lord will prosper. James 3, verse 14 says, but you, if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and lie against the truth. For this wisdom is not from above, but it's earthly, natural, and demonic. Have you ever been in a... I can relate to this. Have you ever been in a disagreement with your husband and you think you're the spiritual one, so you go in the bathroom and start binding the demons and they don't leave? Because you only have authority when you humble yourself, right? And where there's strife and contention, there's every evil work. In fact, it says Leviathan, he lashed at the, you know, it says, you bind the demon in the name of Jesus, and it says that he lashed at the rattling of the javelin. I'm going, yeah, I'm going to get you, devil. He laughs at it because I'm in pride. I've shared this before, but my husband said to me one day, if I'd have known the way you were, I'd have never married you. And I said, well, honey, I'd marry you all over again. And he went, you would? I said, yeah, where do you think I got all the material for this seminar? He did not appreciate it.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.